That's about 30 more people than I thought we were going to get. When Boris made the announcement at 5, I was wondering, and I was on the verge of saying, shall we cancel? But, you know, I think this is really important, and I think it's really interesting how God times things long way before you really realise them. Last Sunday wasn't on preaching at all, or wasn't on any of the services, which is the only Sunday I've not wrote it myself on, I think. And little did I know that I would have Margaret's funeral on the Friday and Alpha Day on the Saturday. I had a really busy week. And I think actually when we put Life Group Central for today in the diary, I think actually God knew this is what we needed to talk about. And I hadn't had time to plan it last weekend, so I only started thinking about it on the train down to London on Wednesday. And then still hadn't done much till Sunday, and actually things are changing so rapidly that I think this is what we need to be on tonight. And I'm in the midst of all the fearfulness and uncertainty and stuff of this is utterly new territory. I just think this is such a key time that God is calling the church to rise up. And I think as I look back on what we've done as a church the last couple of terms, I think God's been preparing us for this moment. You know, if we think back to what we did last term, we looked at 1 Peter. And what is 1 Peter all about? It's about a Christian community offering hope in the midst of suffering and trouble. One of the verses from 1 Peter here, which I just wanted us to start with. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. That's a lovely phrase, in that we are humbling ourselves, but actually under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And that was 1 Peter last term. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of that later on today. And then what we'll be doing this term, God's been calling us to pray and preparing us to pray in different ways. And I think actually this stuff is a really significant preparation for this moment. I think see that whole thing of what's our strapline, partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. If we ever have a time to partner with God in our flourishing of our communities, it's now. And so we're going to talk today and tonight, and we're going to discuss together about actually how, and listen to God, about how God is calling us to be, what it means for us to be the church at these times. And I did a fair bit of this with the leadership team here this morning, and I think we had a really significant morning. We came up with a whole load of stuff, and a lot of that we're going to redo with you, and I'm hoping that actually God's going to continue to show us what he's calling us at this time. But why don't we, before anything, let's hold on to this verse. And actually there may be a whole range of emotions here tonight. A lot of them not necessarily. Some are fearful for themselves because they're in vulnerable places, and health-wise they're vulnerable. A lot of people are anxious about other people. And the uncertainty is a tough place to be in. But let's just pause for a moment and just offer that to God. Let's do what this verse says. Let's humble ourselves. We're in this position where we do anything. Or we can do something, but actually ultimately it's out of our control. God's mighty hand is over this. And let's just offer right now just our anxieties, our concerns, right at the start of this session, over to just receive his peace and assurance that he is still on the and that he's just in control of all this stuff. So Lord, we come and humble ourselves right now. And we say we are your church, we're your people, and you are a mighty God who has this in the palm of your hand. And we just come humbly to offer ourselves to you now. Will you direct us tonight? Will you show us what you're calling us to be at this time? Will you just show us your vision for what actually it means for St. Andrew's and All Saints, the church in Malvern, to be the church for our community at this time? bring us your peace and show us your hope. Lift our eyes to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And in the midst of all this, I want to just again, some more words from Scripture. Psalm 46, which perhaps is even more relevant today than it normally is. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's so much there which is relevant, but just particularly that stuff, I will be exalted among the nations. And I think there's something that actually a lot of people sense that in the midst of this, not saying this is brought on by God, but saying in the midst of this, God wants to be exalted amongst the nations. And he calls us to be part of pointing people to him at this time, which is what we're going to be talking about later. But I wanted to really acknowledge that, and we're going to sing a song we sang here on Sunday, which a couple of people came to the end, so that was really pertinent for this time, which talks about every knee shall bow and acknowledges who God is. And I think more than anything, what we want to do now is to acknowledge who God is and praise his name and lift his name high. So we're going to sing the Lion and the Lamb, and it should come up on here. Why don't we stand? Just as we're standing, why don't two or three just pray out, just acknowledging God's greatness and who God is, and give him our praise at this time. Have a hope that is steadfast and certain. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do grab a seat. I want to begin by just looking at some scripture. And if you've got your phones, look on your Bibles. I'm not encouraging people to pick up church Bibles anymore, but look at it on your phones. And I just think it's really interesting. I'll come on to this in a minute, but actually what it means to be the church in the time of crisis. And I just was reminded of the early church. You know, the early church just did radical things and modeled such a different way of being to their communities at the time. Well, all of 1 Peter that we talked about already, they were living radically, demonstrating a hope to others around in times of suffering. And, you know, I just have a real sense that God's raising up the church and encouraging us not to be in fear, but to step out and model something different to our nation, to the world. And I want to just reflect on a passage from Acts 27. Chris and I and Denise Ditchburn went to a CAP national conference in Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. And a guy preached, I'm just going to regurgitate what he preached, because it was really powerful then, and I think it's even more powerful now. And it's the story in Acts 27, the whole shipwreck. And I'm not going to read all of it, because it's a long passage, but I'm going to read some different chunks. So basically, Paul has been arrested, and he's under the guard of a centurion, and they're traveling to somewhere, Italy, I think. And they're traveling by boat, and this is the few bits in. It says, we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving at whatever that place is. When the winds didn't allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmon. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lesia. Much time had been lost and sailing had already been dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbour was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbour in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. And what you see here is actually at the start here. They're clearly behind schedule. There's bad weather coming up. And Paul, who's the spiritual leadership on that ship, the spiritual authority, isn't listened to. But who they listen to is they listen to the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship and say, you know, for economic reasons, we're going to press on. And Paul's voice isn't heard. Now, I'm not at all saying we shouldn't listen to the advice we've been given. We should, but it's the next bit that we come into, which I think is important. And then what happens is the storm blows up. And just reading a little bit of it, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw the opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore to Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and couldn't head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid, they would run aground on the sandbars of Sitiris. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Such a desperate situation. In the midst of this storm, they all say, including Paul, we gave up hope of being saved. And then things change. After they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some islands. And suddenly what we see in that place is that Paul receives a visitation from an angel of God, who, first of all, affirms his identity as a child of God, someone who I serve, says, don't be afraid, and says, everyone's going to be safe. And actually, that transformed Paul, encountering Jesus at that moment. It transformed him to have the courage to go from giving up hope to, hey guys, have courage, because actually God's in this. And suddenly what we see is that actually people start listening to him. In the time of crisis where they'd given up hope, where before they weren't listening to the spiritual authority, but were just listening to the human authorities, suddenly what we see is people's ears are opened to hearing spiritual things and to listening to the spiritual authority. So it goes on. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you can't be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboats and let it drift away. Now that's a remarkable act, isn't it? Paul says, actually, you've got to stay with the ship, so they're going to cut their life ropes. Bizarrely, just seems a bizarre act in the midst of a storm, doesn't it? But they went and did that because Paul had said so, and they were now listening to Paul. Just then before dawn, Paul urged them to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God. There's an act of communion. He breaks bread with them, a bit like us at the moment. Doesn't have any wine, doesn't have a cup, but he breaks bread with them. That powerful act of breaking bread to give peace and to give God's presence in the midst of a storm. I think it's a time for God to raise us up and to be aware that actually people are going to be open to listening in a way that they aren't normally. And we're going to just think about what that means. And think about which a guy called Father Richard Hendrick has written. And I think it's profound. And it may well open us up to asking that question. So I'll read it to you. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and grey and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivery to the housebound. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number throughout the neighbourhood so that the elders may have someone to call on. Today, churches, synagogues, mosques and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. All over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbours in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality, to how big we really are, to how little control we really have, to what really matters, to love. So we pray and remember that yes, there is fear, but there doesn't have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there doesn't have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there doesn't have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but that doesn't have to be disease of the soul. Yes, there is even death, but there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake to the choices you make as to how to live now. Today, breathe. Listen behind the factory noises of your panic. The birds are singing again. The sky is clearing. Spring is coming. And we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul. And though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing. I've got some copies of that if you want to take that away. But I just would love us to pause and to listen to God, because I think that's partly what this is about today. And just for, we're going to take a few moments to just in silence listen to God and ask God the question, what do you want to do through this crisis? What are you calling us as a church to be and to do at this time? And then then just after a few minutes, we'll just have a chance to feedback and stick some stuff up here, and then we'll go on to praying other things and then talking more practically. But I think first of all, let's begin by asking God what he wants to do, what he is doing in the midst of this. So let's be still and just be open to anything that God may give you. You might like to sit down, share it in a moment.
To other people who are in that vulnerable state.
I think that's really important, is that we can show vulnerability. And I think if God's been teaching us something as a church over the last year as well, partly through my story but through other stories as well, it's that, you know, it's okay to show vulnerability to others. And actually that often opens other people up and makes a connection there, isn't it? So yeah, let's not be afraid to show our vulnerability in this too, but to show where our trust is. Yeah. Anything else?
Thing that's occurred to me is that it could enhance social responsibility. For example, two organisations not noted for their social responsibility are Amazon and eBay, both of whom are now stopping people profiteering.
Yeah. 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 So there's something in the big multinational companies too. It's helpful to ask that question, I think. And actually then you pray into it. I think I've been really helped lately by something that Peter and I and Helen went on, where actually it's talked about. Ask that question. God, what are you doing? What's your purpose in this? What's your original design? We've used that phrase on Sunday nights for this crisis. And then pray into that stuff. So we're going to do that in a moment. So how can we respond? I've come up with this, which I quite like. And we're going to talk about these later on. So what's God calling us as a church to do? I think, first of all, to pray. And we're going to pray in a moment. Pray for God's intervention, for his kingdom to come, for his purposes to be enacted in this. Then to act, to play our part in restricting the virus and just in doing all we can to stop it spread and to care for those. I think that thing of serving, and we touched on it already from Darren there, we're going to come on to talk about what does it mean for us to serve our communities, sacrificially maybe, at this time. And Chris and Collins mentioned it here, that thing of sharing, actually, sharing the hope we have. And when I added it all down, I realised it made the word pass. And then I said, pass this on. And then I thought, no, it's not right. That's not what we want to say at the moment. But pass this on, not the virus. But I think it's helpful. Pray, act, serve, share. So we're going to start with prayer. 2 Chronicles 7 is where many people have found themselves in the last few days. And there's that really key verse on 2 Chronicles 7, 14 there, from verse 13. Even more interesting reading verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's looking up to the sunflowers, isn't it? Looking up, sunflowers looking up, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. And I think there's something here about God's calling us to repent on behalf of our nation, where we've actually lived in an individualistic culture and forgotten about community, and just lost the plot of what's important in life. And to confess that and to draw in our prayers and in our actions the nation back to that. To hear just some of the things that some of these came from that helpful thing that I sent around that Paul Hunt had passed on to me. But what can we pray in this time? Proclaim, as we've done already, the sovereignty of God over all things and affirm our trust in him. We can confess and ask forgiveness on our nation and world and pray for God's mercy. Live out that prayer of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pray that this virus will be contained within boundaries that God set. And I thought that was an interesting way of phrasing it. This was from Paul saying, pray that it will be contained within boundaries that God sets and for God's protection. you read Psalm 91, it's a lovely psalm. Go and read it, of protection at this time. But actually, within the boundaries, I still think we need to pray that God would do what God wants would happen kingdom-wise in our world as well. That the disease ultimately will serve the purposes of God and his kingdom, that lovely phrase that we think about at Margaret's funeral, that all things work for the good of those who love him, and that actually in the midst of tragedy and crisis and death and suffering that there will be, and Christians won't be exempt from that, that God will be at work bringing good, and that the church will rise up at this time in obedience. Some more things. I think we're called to pray for our community here in Malvern particularly. I think it's really interesting. A few weeks ago, God said to me, you know, you need to take Wednesdays out to pray. And I didn't know what that was about at the time. And I think God's saying you need to be an intercessor for your community. And I think God's calling us to be that. And we're going to talk more about how we can connect with the community to do that a bit later. Let's pray for the sick to be healed, for the bereaved to be comforted. Pray for those in the medical caring profession. Anna, do you want to add anything? Yeah. And who in our community, so Anna, it's you and Sarah Angwin. Anyone else? Debbie? Care is in old people's homes too. We need to pray for God's real mighty protection on those people, the ones who are serving. We need to pray blessing on you guys. Maybe when we pray, a few people can just lay hands on, no, not lay hands on her. do whatever. But I think this one's really important too. For those engaged in research to be given supernatural insights, revelation, and inspiration, that actually a cure and a vaccine can be found in super fast time. And we pray, let's pray for just God to anoint with inspiration the scientists who are looking at that. For those in positions of authority at all levels, and I think that what's really, I'm already aware of, is that actually it's leadership in all levels that are dealing with this. From schools, some have just been up at a governor's meeting at the Witch, and there are several people there just saying, we don't know what's happening tomorrow, and they're making key decisions that are going to affect lives. As well as the Boris Johnsons and the Donald Trumps of this world. And we need to pray for them too. For those who've suffered economically for provision, you know, it's hitting so many small businesses, and I'll talk about that a bit later. Several people in our churches who are hit because their work has gone and they're really anxious and really in trouble. And we need to work out how we can support them too. And just the thing of kindness and selfishness to prevail, not kindness and selflessness to prevail, not selfishness and greed. As we've seen, I mean, the pictures have been horrendous of people fighting for stuff in supermarkets. It's been awful. I've heard stories of sanitizers being taken from the end of hospital beds. And yet we need to model a different way. So I'd love us to really just pray, spend a good few minutes, 15 minutes or so, really praying for some of this stuff. If you're in a small group, you might like to combine groups to make a bigger group to pray rather than praying all together. But let's really pray into this stuff. Let's pray what we've just heard from God, that God wants this to happen earlier. That's what some of the stuff we shared. Let's pray this stuff. I'll flick between these two slides as we go on, but why don't we pray for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes or so, and really lift this up to God. And we're praying, believing that this stuff makes a difference. Peter's speaking on spiritual warfare here on Sunday, spoke of spiritual warfare on All Saints last Sunday. And, you know, this is stuff in the heavenlies that we believe is shifting because we pray. And this is life and death, kingdom stuff. So let's really pray. These bits of paper, so I'm going to take in all your ideas. But one suggestion, let's hear each group.
From which one? To volunteer to do childcare for people. So yeah. If they have to go to work and they've got children and you're free, you can look after their kids for them for free.
or even just to give people a break who just to, if schools could be closed till September. That's the reality. I mean, my brother said this week, I think schools will be closed. Once they're closing down, they're not going to open quickly. And for some people are excited over there, but actually for parents, I tell you, Kirsty in the office is terrified of having her kids at home for 4 months. So, well, yeah. Okay, good. So actually sharing cards care. Great. I hadn't thought about that one. Great. Let's have a suggestion over here.
We thought about encouragements, actually, you know, letting people know about good things that are happening so that we keep spirits up on the church website or whatever.
Brilliant. Yeah, really, really lovely thing. Encouragements, sharing stories of encouragements. Great. Get on Facebook again.
Identifying people in our church community who are not tied up with life groups,
yeah,
and making sure that there is a group which will take responsibility,
yeah,
for them,
yeah,
so having a sort of buddy system.
Yeah, yeah, great, and I'll talk a little bit about our thoughts on that in a moment, but yeah.
Is it time for you and Peter perhaps to become radio stars?
No. What we're looking for is a church media officer. Actually, Peter does where is he? There. He does very good YouTube clips. His best one when we're advertising Carols of the Common, him and Kirsty were standing on the common and Peter stood there and said, "Hi there, my name's Kirsty." So I think, but seriously, I think that's a really excellent idea. We can easily do, like we did at Christmas, we can do a YouTube video. Actually, this is what the church is doing, a message for the community. But we can share it on Facebook. No, we can share it on Facebook. We'll get on Facebook. It's a time to get on Facebook. Yeah, and we'll get them on the website. Yeah, yeah.
I think we were saying, obviously, is things that have already been said about making sure we know who needs help and being able to help them. But reaching out to the local community, we were thinking it was important to declare why we're helping. So not just offering to help, but making sure people know that we're Christians and we're helping because we want to share that love. So that actually it's not just helping the local community, but it's witnessing to them as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, thank you. Don't all volunteer at once.
We were talking about the food bank and, yeah, the greater need there will be for people who are going hungry, the, yeah, loss of income, and also the fact that the food bank's staffed by people in their 70s.
Absolutely, yeah, we're going to touch on that in a minute. Absolutely, yeah, really important.
Well, we were going to talk about the food bank as well because...
You're not allowed to now.
I won't then.
No, go on. Say what you're going to say, Ken. We love you, Ken.
it occurred to us that people may have trouble now getting to the food bank,
yeah,
or the food,
yeah,
bank may have trouble being open,
yeah,
and a delivery service might be appropriate.
Yeah, great. Really, really good ideas. And, you know, actually, this is why we need each other, because actually we all think of different things, and we all know different parts of the community well, but we need to... just pull all our ideas together. So I'll take in all, please don't go home with those bits of paper. I want to take them in, I want to have a look at them. Here are some suggestions that some other things we've come up. Many of those we've thought about already. But this thing of serving our community, and that's both our church community and our wider community, ministering grace, that lovely phrase from LICC, ministering grace and love. Actually, think about that. If you remember those six M's from LICC, actually, we've got such a chance to do all of those in these next few weeks. So visiting, keeping in contact, doing shopping, jobs, phoning. I think phone is going to be really important. Really important. Okay, so some of you may have seen this that's out. So someone somewhere, I don't know whether they're Christians or not, has put these postcards out. They're going around viral on Facebook. So you need to be on Facebook. Which is just, the idea is that you write your details on and you drop it into a few of your neighbours and just say, "I'm here if there's needed." We are going to produce our own versions of these, which says, "I'm a member of St. Andrew's and All Saints Church," which I think sometimes might give people a bit more confidence of actually calling on somebody and they might trust us a little bit more, or they might trust us less, but I think they might trust us more. And as well, we're going to put on the back some of the things that we offer, what's on the website in terms of other resources and things. We're going to put a chance to say, if you'd like prayer, we've set up, or Derek is about to set up, prayonefome@standrewsandallsaints.org email address, so that people can email in prayer requests. So we're going to set up our own versions of these, and the idea is that basically anyone who wants to can take them and to deliver them where you want to connect with people. So we're not suggesting you go and do a whole 20 streets, but saying actually maybe if you live in a cul-de-sac, you email, you do this, deliver this to your cul-de-sac or to the immediate neighbours around you, or you drop it into people that you know particularly. And that's a way of just connecting up, and you can tick whatever you're able to offer. We'll put some guidelines on it as to how you do this safeguarding-wise and how we do it so that we're not spreading the virus by doing it. So it's sort of drops on the doorsteps, etc. But we're going to produce, hopefully this week, we're going to produce our own versions of this. I think it's probably a week. It's probably a week, 2 weeks too early to give this out. Actually, I think if we give it out now, people might have lost them. But this is, I think, once they lock down the over 70s. Is that the right? That's not the right phrase, is it? But once we have cases in Malvern and people really are self-isolating seriously, then actually we need to get this stuff out. So we're going to produce our own versions of that we can email out to people, and we'll print some out as well that you can have. So prayer request email. So we're going to basically say we want to pray for our community. So we want to open it up. So if the community has got any things that you want us to pray for, we're going to commit to pray for them. And what we're talking about is having prayer, a simple noon prayer every noontime, either at St. Andrew's or at All Saints. And we'll be looking for a variety of people who might lead that service. It'll be a simple one-sided bit of paper, like a Founder Brennan prayer or like a Celtic midday prayer, something like that, where we can meet for 10 minutes, probably 15 minutes at the most, where actually people from the community can come in if they just want a place to pray, and any of the members of the church too, where we can spread ourselves around so we're not in contact with each other very much at all, and so that we can actually maybe read out names or read out any prayers that the community has sent us in to commit to, say, every day at midday, we're going to pray for our community, and invite people who are self-isolating at home to join us virtually. Well, no, just not virtually, not online, but just to do it at home at the same time as we're doing it here. So we say at midday, every day, we're going to be praying for our community. So I need people who will say, I'll come and lead that prayer. It's really easy. You just have to read out the words, but you just come maybe once a fortnight. You'll say, actually, I'll come and do it on the Monday every other week for that. We want to create a volunteer force as well of people who actually, if people get in contact with the church and say, I need some help, we can actually say, okay, can you go and drop stuff off at that person in addition? I've just written the Easter leaflets in great faith, and we sent them off. They've been printed this very moment. And the introduction basically is all about coronavirus and how we as a church are here to help, and how we're going to put things online and live stream services and stuff. We want to get those out this weekend, before we're all shut down and don't feel we can go door-to-door visiting. But that just basically says to people, here's the Facebook page, here's the website, we're here as your church and your community at this time to serve you. And look at our website for more details of what we're offering. So we're doing things like that already. I think support for local businesses is really important. I'm really conscious of Pulbrook Cafe, Pet Shop, One Stop. But Pulbrook Cafe, just if you can go and buy a coffee or buy a meal there in the next few weeks, go and bless that business, because otherwise I suspect they're going to go under. Blessings fund. You know, Acts 4:35. We talked about this time last year. We set up the blessings fund. This is our chance to really live this stuff out, guys. Acts 4:34 says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses or sold them bought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. I'm going to email out when I send this stuff out and basically say, we want to open up that blessings fund for people if they're able to contribute, maybe a standing order into the blessings fund at this time, which we can then redistribute. And we want to just get it out there and say, you know, there's no shame in saying, we're struggling as a family, we're struggling as individuals because of this, and we want to just live this out at this time. I've had a really very generous offer this morning already for someone to support a particular family who are in great need at this time. And I think this is being the church. So if you're able to give to the Blessings Fund at this time, please do, or send the standing order out, details and stuff, or get in touch directly with Andy Lima. If you are in need or hear of others in need, please don't sit there in silence. Let's speak up at this time and let's support each other, because I think that can be such a witness and really bond us together. And if you hear of a need in the community, we want to bless people there. So we're going to have a big push for the Blessings Fund, but amazing that God got us to set that up 9 months ago, I think particularly for this time. And we've talked already about Food Bank, needing extra donations, volunteering for Food Bank. You know, most of the people who help at Food Bank are over 70. Once they get isolated, there's going to be no one to stack shelves, let alone not much food coming. And I heard something about Food Bank donations at 25% down already, and yet this is the time we need it the most. So can we buy a little bit of extra instead of hoarding it in our kitchens? Can we give it to the Food Bank? And I think that that question of maybe Food Bank needs deliverers may well be one that we need to talk about. Well, let's touch base with Peter Buchanan on that. So there are some of the things that we can serve with. Finally, Shane, we're going to finish at 15:15. But I think this is really important. How can we share the hope that we have at this time? Going back to 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, that was while they were being persecuted and in a crisis. But do this with gentleness and respect. So I think this is, there's two dimensions here. One, it's offering to pray for anyone you come into contact with, and gathering prayer requests and say, we as a church are here to pray for you. I'm just about to tweet out, you know, the try praying booklets. You know, I think it's a great opportunity to give those out. There's some on the back shelf there. Here, these ones. They're specifically designed for people who don't pray. And it talks about, what's your big issue that you want to pray about at the moment? Well, I think quite a lot of people are going to have big issues to pray about. Take one of these and pray that you, God will give you the chance to give it to somebody. But actually, let's not be afraid to say, will you pray for me? Colin's going to come up and... aren't you, Colin? you're going to... I'll let you touch it. The diocese came around and did some filming a couple of weeks ago, and I'm waiting to have the films back. But one of the things they did, they came and visited Colin on his front line at his B&B. And we got a great little film strip, which is going to go out across the diocese soon. But in that, Colin talked a little bit about just how he's really open to praying for people and how perhaps he opens up conversations really well. And Colin does this so well, as we know, and I think there's a lot that he can teach us. So, Colin, just, you've got 4 minutes to just share, how do you go about getting all these opportunities that you have to pray for people and having these conversations? Give us your top tips and some nice stories to encourage us.
I think the first thing to say is this isn't something that I do naturally. When I was a kid, I was incredibly timid. Never told anybody at school I was a Christian. So this is something that God has done for me. So if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, that's okay for him, you know, he's naturally an extrovert, I can't do it, sorry, you're wrong. You can, if God touches you and if you ask the Holy Spirit to give you that boldness. I think the thing I've found is that... you need to give people the opportunity to understand where you're coming from. And so I have what I call connections. When people come to the farm, I make a point of telling them that Eddie, our youth leader, our church, lives in the coach house. So that sort of immediately nails my colours to the mast. I tell people that I help out with a thing called Christians Against Poverty. Again, it's getting that word out there. And so it's sort of letting people know, if you like, where you're coming from. And then I find that people tend to open up quite a bit. We've had a decorator working at our house just last couple of weeks, and my wife was cooking a meal for Alpha, and he said, "Oh, that smells good. What is it?" And rather than just saying, "Oh, I'm cooking shepherd's pie," I think it was, she said, "I'm cooking shepherd's pie for Alpha." And he said, "What's Alpha?" And she explained, and he said, "That sounds incredibly interesting. Could I come?" And then he went home, and he talked to his wife about it, and he came the next morning and said, "Can my wife come?" And so I've just found that as we're open and we express what God's doing for us, and as I say, give people some pointers, let them know where you're coming from, that actually people are more open to hear about these things than we may perhaps think. We had a woman arrived at our Airbnb, and she was obviously quite distraught, but I noticed a sticker on the side of her car that said Spring Harvest. And I said, "Oh, do you go to Spring Harvest? Because most of our church are away at New Wine at the moment." So it sort of gave her that connection that, you know, I knew what New Wine was, I knew what Spring Harvest was. And she just actually broke down and started to tell me some of her story as to where she'd been and how desperate she'd become. And I asked Marion to come out, and we were able to pray for her straight away, and then invited her into the house to do some cooking, which she found quite cathartic, and just shared what Jesus had done for us. So actually, I suppose what I'm saying is people are interested in our stories. They are interested in what Jesus has done for us. And if it's our story about what Jesus has done directly for us, they can't have an argument with you about the theology of the Bible. All they can do is listen to what Jesus has done for you and just leave that with them.
And how do you offer to pray for someone? How do you decide whether to... Well, how do you get to the point where you're always praying for people, Colin?
Well, there was a classic one where we had a builder in, and he'd done some work, and I offered him a bottle of wine because I thought he'd done an incredibly good job. And he said, "Oh, I don't drink." And I said, "Well, all I can do is offer to pray a blessing on you then." And he went, "Okay." That was a bit odd. Usually, I think people start opening up a little bit about their backstory and some of their issues. And I just say, "Well, I've always found that it helps to pray about these things. Would you like me to pray for you now?" This was what happened with our decorator the other day. He had one of his friends died over the weekend ago. And he was obviously quite distraught about it. And I said, "You know, we said we perhaps could pray together sometime. Is this the time to pray?" And we just sat on the stairs and we prayed. So it's sort of part of the conversation, really.
But I think just an amazing opportunity now when people are worried, actually just say, "Can I pray for you?"
Yeah.
Can you say, "Our church is specifically praying every day for our community. We'll start next week, probably. What day is today? Monday. We might start it this week." But actually say, "Our church is committed to praying for our community in the midst of coronavirus. Can I pass your details on for church to pray? Can I pray for you now? Can I pray a blessing and protection on your family?" Let's make those bold steps and let's see what God does and see what it might open up. Because this is the time when people's ears will be open to this. And remember, he really is. I don't believe him, but he really does say he was timid and shy many years ago.
I was so timid as a young lad, I had a non-speaking part in the school nativity play, and I couldn't face going on stage and ran home and hid under my nan's bed.
Well, there you go. Thank you. So that's praying, and I'd really challenge us all to say, pray for an opportunity to pray for someone each day and see what God does. So that's prayer. Then secondly, offering the hope of the gospel. What might that mean? Well, pray again, pray for opportunities to speak of God. Perhaps share the gospel sounds too grand. Just pray for opportunities to speak about God and your faith to people in these times. Be prepared to share something of your story. One of the things Colin talks about on the video that he does is about how he talks about, "This is my miracle daughter," and he shows them it, and then actually he says the story of how actually it was a miracle and God's answer to prayer that they had a daughter at all, etc. So where in our story is there something that we can then share something of and drop that into the conversations to give a chance for opening it up? Listening to others talk and their questions and offer the hope of who God is and his love. I think we are particularly going to have look come up to us. You're a Christian, why is God causing this? You're a Christian, why is God letting this happen? Those big apologetic questions. I'm gonna give you 3 minutes taster of Jasmine's seminar a few weeks ago. I really recommend listening to the whole thing. And if you do, if you email me or email Derek, we can email it on to you. We haven't put it on the website because it's a bit sensitive. But I'm going to give you a 3-minute taster of it because I think it's really helpful. She talks about what's the surface question and what's the deeper question that people are asking. And I think this is really helpful. That gives you a taster. But I think it's a brilliant seminar. And so she says, when people ask you those questions, think, what are they really asking underneath? And respond to that. And she just actually goes on in the seminar to give 3 ways of responding, which I've got a little handout that she gave, really little handout for everybody. Pass one of those out. And the 3 things she goes on to talk about in the seminar, and go and listen to the whole thing, is firstly, she says, affirm the question. So that's a really good question to make people feel there's some connection there. I really get what you're saying. I really understand why you're saying that. Secondly, she says, is there a question that you could ask them back before you come in with an answer? About what do you think about that? Or how do you think God sees you? Etc. Which actually then opens up a conversation. And thirdly, she talks about, is there a biblical truth that you can affirm? So actually that thing of when someone's saying, why does God allow coronavirus? Then actually with a biblical truth we're trying to affirm is that, you know, in the Bible it says that God is a good God, that God loves us, that God cares for us. And we may not have the full answer to why, but actually we're affirming a spiritual truth. We're affirming a biblical truth back to them. And I think I just ponder those things. I found those really helpful, but do listen to the whole of the seminar because I think we are going to be asked difficult questions in the coming weeks. And it's okay to say, I don't understand, I don't know, but what I do know is that I know God gives me a peace in the midst of this. I know I have a hope in the midst of this. Peter. So email me or email Derek and we will email you the seminar. We're just not making it publicly available because Jasmine didn't want it publicly available. So if you email me or Derek or the office, we'll email it to you. Lastly, and then we're going to tie up because it is 15:15, there's a whole load of materials that we've got, and I've put a load on the back, and I've got a whole load of stuff. I want you to take some stuff away. We've got a whole load of Luke's Gospels, which were left over from Thy Kingdom Come, which have got a whole load of stuff in about what it means to follow Jesus and what Christians believe, etc. Take some away. You might find there's an opportunity to give them to somebody. I've already mentioned Try Praying. It's a really good book to say, okay, in this middle of crisis, why don't you try praying? Can't harm. The worst that can happen that God's not there and actually nothing happens. But why don't you, in the midst of this, try praying? Follow this 7 days of suggestions of how to pray if you don't pray. And then this, the big welcome, which Gary Gibbs, who came to us in October, gave out. I think it's a really good little booklet. It basically talks about prodigal son and talks about how just God's arms are welcome to welcome us home and how God sees us. And just grab some of these at the back and just pray for an opportunity to give them out if the time arises. Lastly, I've got some sign-up lists at the back. What we need is we can't do this on our own. We need to come together as a church to do this. Here are some specific things that people can volunteer for. And I would love you to sign up if you feel able to say, I'm interested in this. We're looking for community volunteers. People actually, if we get phone calls in to say, I'll go and do some shopping for that person. I'll go and just phone that person or whatever and have a conversation with that person. We need pastoral coordinators. We talked about life groups. Life groups, I want to say, are the main vehicle for caring for each other at this time. But I have a nearly 2 sides list that I'm going to go through on Wednesday of people who aren't in life groups in our church. And I think there's two ways of connecting them up. One is to connect them to some life groups and say, can you each take a couple of people extra? The other way, which I think we'll do quite a lot, is saying, I would love to have some people who say, I'll be a pastoral coordinator that will keep in touch with a group of 15 people, not to be a life group leader, but just over these next few weeks to pastorally keep in touch with them and to oversee them, particularly vulnerable people. If you're able to offer that, then that would be fantastic. One of the things we're going to do to share encouragements and keep us connected when we may not meet together, Alice came up with this idea this morning, is I would love to take a load of video testimonies of people just sharing their story or sharing a Bible verse that means a lot to them. 3 minutes sharing something of what God's done for you. And I want to get these out on the website and on Facebook that we can share amongst ourselves, but also that our community can see. And I would love if we could say, right, we're going to have one a day or three a week that we just get out there as our own stories to connect up with each other, to encourage each other, to get to know each other whilst we're separated. If you can offer, Alice has got a list of 50 people she reckons already, so she's probably going to come see most of you anyway. But if you can offer beforehand and before we all get locked down, all it needs is for one of us to come around with a phone or an iPad. Doesn't need to be fantastic quality. We'll upload it onto YouTube and then we'll stick it on Facebook, on website. And it'll be brilliant to get these stories out into our community, stories of encouragement and hope. If you can offer that, please sign up at the back. Alice. Yeah. Write it. And then lastly, volunteers to take over from the over 70s who will need to step back from stuff soon. We're trying to keep toddlers running. I think everything else is virtually going to stop, but we're trying to keep toddlers running. We may not do it in church. It might be talking about meeting at the Nature Reserve or in Pulbrook Common. But nearly all our toddlers helpers are over 70. And similarly with Food Bank. And if there's anything else you can volunteer with too. Derek's needing a new video. I missed that. Oh, no. New video. What are you needing, Derek? Yeah. And I just think, particularly if we're trying to live stream these services or record these services, because the tech team generally connects up with each other, if one person in the tech team gets it, they're likely to all go down at the same time. And so if anyone can offer anyone, they're going to be really important people at this time. So actually, if any more tech support we can help, that'd be great. So all those lists at the back, all that stuff to pick up is at the back. Please leave your lists. I'm going to pray. If anyone wants to just talk through any concerns that they have, any fears, and be prayed for, this is the time to do it. Don't rush off. Peter Myers. And we've recorded this, and we're going to put this on the website, so I'll email that out. But please get other people to listen to it and pass it on, but not the virus. Let me pray. Why don't we all stand and just... Lord, we thank you that actually you give us your presence in these times, that we don't have to be fearful, that perfect love casts out all fear, that we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, that we know whatever the next few weeks hold, that you are our rock and our refuge. And you call us to be the church at this time. And I commission each and every one of us and all those who aren't here and those who will be listening to this online, we just anoint us as the church in this place to be a beacon, to raise a banner, as Chris shared with us this morning. Go and read Psalm 60. Raise a banner for people to look at and look up and say, we don't have to be beaten by this. We don't have to be downcast. We can bring hope and light and love. And we can partner with God in us. And so, Holy Spirit, come and anoint us. Come and give us your protection. Come and give us your hearts for people at this time. And may your kingdom come in this place. And may our communities flourish. Because you are here and you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming.